gmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you to WMIE 91.5 FM, today's Modern Worship. And we want to thank you for choosing to spend the next half hour with us as we are talking about not being deceived. Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. That's what we're talking about right now. And so today we're going to be in the book of Colossians chapter 2. I titled this the DBD section of the teaching series, the DBD. Don't be deceived. And so today we're going to begin looking in Colossians chapter 2. We're going to be looking at verses 4 through 10. And so if you've got your Bible or you want to make a note of it, we encourage you to do that now. Verse number 4 of Colossians chapter 2 says, "Now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power." So here we see in verse number 4, now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. I am so glad that God tells us the truth and prepares us, that says if you hear anything different than this, it's not true. Don't let anybody deceive you. And here, the word deceit. Now, when we talked about it out of Ephesians chapter 5 yesterday, we had a word that was translated deceive, and that meant to cheat. I didn't cheat you out of that God has in store for you. This word deceive, I did not even know this was a word. Believe me, you are not the only one that learned stuff on this radio program. I went home the other day and was talking to my wife, and I said, I learned something in preparing for the radio program that I didn't know. And it was challenging. And when I shared it with her, it was a challenging word as well. And said, we need to make sure that we don't do those sorts of things. And I said, I agree. And so we're learning. This word here means to misreckon. Misreckon. Now, from what I have been told in the past, that to reckon was an accounting term. It was someone who kept the books and put things in the proper columns and made sure that all of the math was right. It was to make sure that the books were accurate. And so the word misreckon is, don't let someone operate with some funny business when it comes to the accounting of God's word. There are people who will try and manipulate the word of God. There are people who will try and redefine the words of God from what they originally meant to what they want them to mean now. Don't let people be fast and loose with the truth of God. We live in a day and time where people don't like what the Bible has to say. I saw a headline a couple of weeks ago where a politician was, if I remember right, they were arrested and charged with a crime for posting a Bible verse. They were either censured or arrested, but anyway, they posted a Bible verse. And we live in such a triggered society that people don't want to be confronted with the truth of, listen, what God has to say still matters. God's opinion hasn't changed. God's never going to become more enlightened. He is the way, the truth, the life. And so don't let someone deceive you or beguile you or play around with the words in such a way that they are going to move you from embracing the truth to embracing deception. I've told you on this, on radio programs in the past, how if I needed my GPA to get a boost, I took a math class. Math was something that just kind of triggered for me. It made sense. And so I was pretty good at math. And so if I needed a GPA to go up, and so when we were first married, my wife and I, it wasn't too long until we had a son, and we were looking for ways to supplement income. And so she began to look at businesses that she could work from home, and they would say, okay, this is what you can do, and then we will send you a check for this. And as I would look at it, I would say, the math doesn't add up. There's something that's going on. And it's true, they would send you the check, but it was because you had to buy their supplies from them. And so you were buying the supplies from them. You really weren't making what they were trying to get you to believe that you would make. I've had other salesmen who tried to tell me that the product they were wanting to sell me wasn't going to cost me as much as what they said it was going to cost. And I said, you know what? Your math doesn't add up. You are misreckoning. You are deceiving. And I will tell, let me just tell you what I have observed, and that is this. A person who tells the truth will be pretty much assuming that other people are telling them the truth. But a person who operates in deception is going to be convinced that everybody else is out to lie to him the same way that he was out to lie to everybody else. Don't let people deceive you by misappropriating the word of God. Okay? He says, don't let anyone deceive you with persuasive words. Now, yesterday we talked about people who were speaking empty words. They were void of faith. They were void of life. They were void of truth. Today, he says, don't let anyone deceive you with persuasive words. There are people who have the ability to persuade people because their presentation is so enticing. It is so convincing. I like to watch illusionists. I like to watch them to see if I can figure out how they do their trick. You know, they will make you think that, you know, what they are showing you is actually true, and actually it's an illusion. It's not true. So I tell people this, and that is, if you embracing someone else's speech is so important to them, shouldn't it be important enough to us to be protective of ourselves? Now, I will tell you that one of the hardest things to guard against in the ministry is a cynical mindset, a cynical attitude, not towards the Word of God, but towards people, because you have so many people who come in with persuasive, enticing, heart-wrenching stories, and many times they don't have an ounce of truth in them. They are just trying to persuade you, to con you out of something, or to get you to do something for them. And so there was a person one time, I still remember his name, and he said, Pastor Bob, can you give me some money? I said, man, you know I don't give out cash. And he said, I said, what do you need money for? And he said, I'm not going to lie. I need something. I need a drink. I need a beer or something like that. And I don't remember exactly what he said, but he was looking to buy alcohol. And I said, you know, I'm not going to give you money for something that is going to make you deeper in bondage rather than set you free. And he said, hey, at least I told you the truth. I said, and I appreciate that. And I'm at least telling you the truth as to why I'm not going to help you. I want to see you set free, not deeper in bondage. Just because someone has the has this persuasive personality or charisma doesn't mean that what they're telling you is truth. I know that's hard for us as Christians to accept at times, but it is. It is true. And so we need the gift of discernment. We need the Holy Spirit operating in us. And what I have learned is, do not go through the caution lights. Do not go through the stop signs when the Holy Spirit is raising an issue in your life. If you want your misery index to remain low, don't run the red light. Don't run the yellow light. Say, God, if you are telling me that there's something not right here, I know you know what you're talking about. So he goes on and he says, for though I am absent in the flesh, he said, I'm not there with you physically, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. So I like this. I think that we need to be commending one another for the things we get right. I think that we need to be celebrating victories, not just all of the time focusing on the defeat. And so if you have taken a step of faith and you said, you know what, I know that God wants my life in good order, okay? Let me talk about a term you don't hear very much, and that is inordinate affections. There are people who have their affections, let me define it for, out of order. It might not be that the relationship is wrong, it's just in the wrong order. You see, God is the most important person in my life. I've got to love him. If I'm going to love my wife the way that she needs to love, to be loved, I need to love God, because he's going to give me the love in my heart that I'm going to be able to express for my wife. If I'm going to be a good pastor, I've got to love God so that he can put the love for people in my heart so that I can see them. I need to have things in the right order. If you remember from your school days, you had combination locks and you had to have the numbers in the correct sequence if you were going to be able to get your locker open and get to class on time. I know people who can still remember their combination from their locker from when they were in middle school and grade school. Well, I don't know if we had lockers in grade school. I don't think we did. I think we got lockers when we went to middle school. They can still remember that. I have to carry around my combination with me for when I go to the gym, because I just need to be able to say, okay, what's that combination again? Because if I forget the numbers, I can still remember some of the numbers from locks that I had, but I can't remember the right sequence. We have got to remember to have our life in the right order, where we put God above everything. Okay? Paul said, I rejoice to see your good order. Can I just stop and say, being a Christian does not mean that you have had the joy of your life stolen. It means that you, for once in your life, have the right reason to rejoice. Okay? Christians are supposed to be the most jubilant people on the planet. The deception, the persuasion that people use with their commercials about, well, if you drink this adult beverage, boy, is your life going to be fantastic, unless it's not. You know what? If you never drink, you don't have to worry about driving under the influence. Okay? Let's not be deceived by persuasive words. Don't let some marketing person separate you. You know what? There are always people who are working to try and separate you from the things that are important to you because they want them. Don't give that. Put your life in good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ Jesus. Okay? I put it this way. I have the gift of stubborn. And stubborn against the things of God is a bad thing, but stubbornness for the things of God is a great thing. And so I need to be steadfast in the Word of God, my understanding of the Word of God. I'm steadfast in it. If, you know, that doesn't mean that I'm not learning. I am. I'm constantly adding greater revelation into my life as I continue to study the Word of God. But I tell you what, my faith is not up for debate. My faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ. My faith in the eternal blessings that God has for me is greater than the conveniences that this life has to offer. I am steadfast in believing that Christ has good things in store for us. There is no other way to heaven but by Christ Jesus. There is no other name under heaven whereby we can be saved but that of Jesus Christ. And since he has given me every good and perfect gift, and one of the things that he has given me is the measure of faith, I know that I have the faith to get through whatever difficulty and whatever challenge I might face. And so when you see someone standing in faith, don't try and undermine their faith. Celebrate their faith. Celebrate the victories. I think that our churches ought to be filled with joy. When you see a person who's been at death's door and Jesus calls them back to the land of the living, in a supernatural way, we need to celebrate that. When people were on their way to hell and God redeemed them, wrote their name in the Lamb's Book of Life and says, you're going to spend eternity forever with me in heaven, we need to celebrate that. Whenever that which is broken has been made whole, we need to celebrate that. He says in verse number 6, As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. We talked about that, walking in love yesterday. Walk in Christ, walk in obedience to what God has for you. Walk in fellowship with the saints. There's a lot about the walk that we need to cherish. He says, so walk in him. So do it. Do it. Now he says here that there's more about this in. The word in is used a great deal here in the next few verses. It says, rooted and built up in him. So I had a person at the church the other day, and they said, why is that plant growing where that plant is growing? It started out as just a seed. Somehow it got dislodged, and it found a lodging place in a place it was never meant to grow. And it took root there. And because it was rooted, it became established and it began to grow. And it not only took root, but it sprouted. You see, I believe that there needs to be tremendous depth to us beneath the surface of what people see. I believe that what takes place in our innermost being actually enables and equips the growth that people will be able to see. If you have received Christ Jesus, you are supposed to be walking in him, walking with him, walking in faith. If you have received Christ Jesus, you are supposed to be rooted and built up in him and established in the faith. Wouldn't it be great if we were reinforcing one another's faith instead of reinforcing one another's doubts? Well, did God really say that's the tool of, that Lucifer used, that the serpent used in the garden? Has God really said, hey, let's say, what does God have to say about this thing? And then let's stand in faith with it and say, you know what? We're going to believe what God has said more than what we see with our eyes or hear with our ears from less reputable voices. We're going to be established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it. Now, some translations don't have it, but the it that would be talking about, if it is there, is that you are taught in the faith, abounding in faith with thanksgiving. Okay? Just a couple of months until Thanksgiving, the holiday. But that's not the only time of the year that we're supposed to be a Thanksgiving people. We're supposed to be thankful each and every day. If God has given you today, he's given you an opportunity to be a thankful person. You know, the leper that was healed, only one of the 10 came back and said, thank you. Jesus said, where are the other 9? You know, it doesn't take any special skill to complain, but it does take a special skill to be thankful. I called a person the other day and I said this, I want to thank you for everything that you did. And they said, well, thank you. And I said, I don't know what that means. And the person said this, virtually no one ever tells me thank you. I think that is probably a pretty true assessment, but I think that it needs to be a point where I say, you know what, God, let's not make that a future reality. Let's make this a pivotal moment, a transformational moment, to where we are established in the faith, we are abounding in the faith, and we're thankful for the God that we can have faith in. Okay? So don't let anyone deceive you with persuasive words. That's what it said in verse number 4, because Paul said, I am with you in spirit. Okay, you don't want people who are just there physically. You want people who are all in, who are engaged. I can tell you that from my experiences, people who are just present in body but are not present in spirit are going to be a liability, not an asset. We need people who are all in. Be all in for your church. You know what? I hope that when we come together, you say, you know what? I have the best church, the best pastor that anybody in Brevard County has. And then I hope somebody from my church says, so you attend Merit Assembly of God? No, I think that we do need to have that mindset where we are there, not just in body, but we are there in spirit as well. We rejoice when we see things that are in order, not out of order, and that we have steadfast faith, stubborn faith. faith that's not going, tenacious faith. That's a good word. And that we're going to walk in him because we've received him as our Lord and Savior. Actually, it says, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus, the Lord, not just that we've received him as our Savior and our sins being forgiven, that's important, but also that lordship, that direction, the one who does put things in order, that is very, very important. That we be rooted in him. You know, I know that it's very popular now to just migrate from this point to that point to this point over here and all of that sort of stuff. But I want you to know that God wants you planted. He wants you rooted. He wants you established. And he wants you built up in the faith. He wants you abounding in the faith with thanksgiving. It's a Tuesday. I think I told this story here not too long ago about a lady. I talked to her early in the week, and was just a person at a business establishment. I couldn't even tell you where. And I think it was on a hospital call, now that I think about it. And in an elevator, I just started talking to her and talking about what day. And it was like a Tuesday or a Wednesday. And she said, you know what? That just means we're closer to Friday. And, you know, there are too many times where we're just looking for what's down the road. Let's be thankful for what God has given us today. Be a thankful people. Be thankful that God loved you enough to forgive you of your sins. Be thankful today that God says, you know what? If you will follow me, I am going to be your Lord. I'll be your protector, your shield, your fortress, and I will walk with you to the destination that I have prepared for you. I'm going to give you faith that you can trust me beyond your understanding. I'm going to give you good and wonderful things. Today, God has given you this day. It is a gift. Be thankful. You've got family today that other people wish they had the opportunity to have those relationships in your life. Be thankful for those that are around you. Be thankful for the job that you have. Be thankful for the radio station that's on the air that enables us to be able to hear the Word of God. Be thankful for the Bible that you hold in your hands that people would cry for. Be thankful today for everything that God's done for you. We'll see you tomorrow right here.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.